All right, find your Bibles. Open those to Matthew chapter 7 this morning. We'll worship God together. Matthew chapter 7. God seeks those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that means literally that you've been born again. If you're not born again, your spirit is still dead, actually. And our worship, our faith comes from the spiritual side of man. So if your spirit is dead, you can't worship God. Only in an outward form. And God rejects all outwardness because most of the time it's just worldliness anyway. It's not the flesh that matters. It's the spirit that matters. And God looks for those to worship Him. Jesus told the woman at the well, in spirit and in truth. Truth. What is truth? John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. So, the truth of God never changes and never ends. Look down in chapter 7, verse number 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. The word straight literally means narrow. It's the narrow gate, okay? So we enter in at the narrow gate. He says in verse 14, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now stop just for a moment. He that doeth the will of my Father, that's not works to get you to heaven. The will of the Father is that all come to the Son, Jesus Christ, whom he so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's the will of the Father. Men die and go to hell because they are naturally sinners, and it's not because of their sin that they're in hell. Stop and listen. It's because they've not accepted the will of the Father, which is what? Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, only one way, not a half dozen ways. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The will of the Father is that all men believe and be born again through His Son, who was a sacrifice for our sins on the cross. That's the will of the Father. So notice, He says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, verse 21, shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And notice the spelling. It just simply means master. It does not mean Jehovah God. It does not mean Messiah. It does not mean the anointed one. Lord, Lord. Teacher, master, teacher, Lord. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. In thy name we've done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. The word knew, K-N-E-W, comes from the word gnosko. I'm impressing you with my vast knowledge here. Gnosko, it means an intimate relationship. Like a husband and wife have, they know one another intimately. Jesus Christ says, I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. You used my name. You worked in the name of Christianity, but you never were born again into the family of God. I have no relationship with you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that you've allowed us another opportunity to be in your house today, to worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, your children. We're so grateful that we're able to have a book that is true from one generation to the next generation without ever being compromised. Without ever being in any kind of error at all, we can have confidence that the words on the pages of your book, this translation is true, and we can trust it. We know it's true. It feeds our inner man. It strengthens us. It guides us. It leads us to the Christ who is the Savior of the world. I pray now that you'll touch every individual that's here this morning, young and old. And give to us the message you have for us through the Holy Spirit of God. Divine Holy Spirit, I pray that we lift up Christ today, but that you might give us strength and power and unction in the reading and the preaching of your word. May we hear from on high, and we give all the credit, all the glory to our Savior Jesus Christ. In his name I pray it all. Amen. Be seated. This is your life, America. This is your life, America. When I think about the greatness of the nation in which we live, I'm proud to be a citizen of the United States of America. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed. I am not self-condemning for being born in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Exceptionalism is what it's called. Do you believe that America is the great? I believe America is the greatest nation in the entire world. Without apology. My namesake have bled and died for America. For you and me. And for all these morons that are running around trying to burn it down. They still died for them as well. They're too ignorant to understand the situation. They've been brainwashed by the left and the progressive crowd. They've been brainwashed, I don't mind telling you. And they don't have a clue. The only thing that's going to help them understand is if their heart changes. Jesus Christ said, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders from the heart of man. Someone said not long ago, after one of the mass shootings that we had in one of the school systems, and they said, how in the world can people do something like that? And it's very easy to understand their heart is evil and wicked. They're demonically energized. And the only hope for America and the only help that America will have is if she comes back to the one and true Almighty God. There are not many gods, there's only one. And there's only one Savior, His name is Jesus Christ. And unless you put your life, your hope, and your faith in the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to miss the boat. I heard someone say, in one of the false denominations that preach a different way to get to heaven. They said, well, preacher, we're all trying to get to heaven, and there's many different ways to heaven, and as long as you get on one of the ways and make it there, you're going to be okay. I said, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but my Bible says there's only one way. His name is Jesus Christ, and He's the virgin-born Son of the Almighty God. America. Many of our young people, our young adults today under the age of 30, have not heard the true story, more than likely, of the beginnings of America, the greatness of America, and God's hand upon America since the conception of it. Most of what they know has been rewritten and re-guided into their lives for this progressive idealism that we're experiencing at the present time. And that's why this election is so vital and so important that every Christian get out and vote. And there's only one way to vote. I'm not going to say, I'm going to leave it up to you. I'm going to tell you exactly that there's only one way you can vote. You either vote for life or you vote for death, one or the other. You're either an individual who believes in the sanctity and the holiness of life as God gives it, or you believe that you're one of those individuals that can take it away as easily in the abortionist clinic or in euthanasia, in any other way that life has no value to it. I'm going to tell you, I've seen that evidenced on the streets of Russia in Moscow many years ago. We were there trying to get some translations and some of the outlying Federated Nations, they were reverting back to their own native tongues, and we were trying to get some translations for tracks to go there. And we were coming through one of the streets, walking down the street to the bus stop, and there was a crowd of people out in the middle of the street, and we began to ask people, what's going on? They said a little girl, about 8 years old, got run over, and she's lying in the middle of the street. I said, you know, and we all began to question, well, where's the ambulance? Where's the medical people? And we stood on the street and watched and could see someone weeping on her knees, and apparently was the mother. Finally, the ambulance pulls up in front, and slowly they get out and come back to the back, and one individual begins to open the door and pull out the stretcher, and two more go down, and you can tell they push through the crowd and they get to the little girl, and they're there examining for a while, and people run from that street back to the sidewalk and tell others that are around us what's going on. And eventually the medics loaded back up, got back in the ambulance, and drove off and left the little girl lying in the street. They said there's no reason to get excited about it. She's dying, and she won't make it much longer. And rather than try to do what they could to save her life was of no value and no consequence to an atheist and to one who did not believe that God gives life and God's the only one that should take life. And they left her lying in the street. And my friends, I want to tell you that's exactly where America is headed in another 25 or 30 years or less. If it goes the direction that many in this nation want it to go, to the progressive side. You're looking at no value of life when they can take an 8-pound baby that is just moments from being born and go into the womb and cut that baby to pieces and kill it in the womb of its mother and call it abortion and the right of the mother. That is nothing but cold-blooded, premeditated murder, and everyone involved ought to be in prison or put to death. That's where America is, and it's only going to get worse. This is your life, America. Jesus said in these scripture verses, He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, or nation. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. These parables relate to Christian discipleship, or mentorship, if you please. They are the theme of the Sermon on the Mount, which is discipleship and making others. This particular story is a parable of the wise and the foolish builders. We've read it and we've heard it many, many times, again and again. And it has to deal with the rainy season of the Jordan River Valley and how the floods come. We think of those who built wisely their lives. We're talking about building our lives. Our lives is our house, if you please. I think about those who built wisely. Enoch, who walked with God. Noah. Abraham, the father of our faith. Moses. David. Peter. James. John. Paul. Others. Built on the solid rock of the greatest name of all time, Jesus Christ. And yet then there are those who say, but do not do, how I love God. And they'll sing that song, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And they'll go out and be no different than the rest of the world. To say it is not the same as doing it. And for parents who have children, one of the great lessons that we learn as parents is, we can talk the talk all day long, but unless we walk the walk in front of our kids, it's not going to make a difference. We can say, do as I say, but they're going to do as we do every single time. Make sure your walk lines up with your talk for your children. Years ago, when it was safe, I used to go to Mexico sometimes by myself and meet with our national pastors there in Chihuahua and Monterey and other places. But normally I took a group of men or teenagers every time I went. Sometimes one or two men went with me. Sometimes I just went by myself. I went to Midland College for a while to study the Spanish language, and I found out that I learned quite a bit. I would have been better off just being ignorant and motioning and grunting than what I learned just enough to get me in trouble real deeply when I got there. But I used to go sometimes multiple times a year, and we did work there. We started churches there. We support pastors there. And I got to know some of the families in the cities where we went, and I love the families and I love the people there. But one of the things that I noticed as we would drive down and come through Monterey, Mexico, is we would go across this long bridge, highway bridge, over a dry flat. It looked like sand. It looked like Monahans, like the sand dunes and things. And we drove across that on the south side, I believe it was, of Monterey. And there was nothing there. And eventually there was trees and various things. Over the years, as we began going down and making those trips, a couple of little shacks sprung up down there. Squatters. Free land. Nobody owns it. Wow, they just moved in, and there was two or three little shacks that came up. And then every time we'd go down, there'd be suddenly multiple shacks and then buses. I saw buses where they took the seats out and they started living in the buses. And you can look down off the bridge and see all of this as it stretched out as far as you could see. In the mid-90s sometime, there was a hurricane that came through the Yucatan and hovered right over the Monterey area. Monterey is kind of in the mountains, but the mountains get high on one side and they don't sit, Monterey doesn't sit as high as some of the other cities there. And that hurricane came inland and almost made a direct hit as it came over Monterey, Mexico. We were scheduled to go down and be with one of our missionaries that's just south of Monterey in a little place called Allende. And about a week or 10 days after that hurricane, we loaded up and took off. We went through some of the rural area. Now they have a big interstate highway from Laredo south. We didn't have that at that particular time. And in some of the areas that we got in the Mexico side, the highway was washed out in those arroyos and those dry washes that are always dry. And you think, what in the world is this? You know what it is for. It's for the flash floods when they finally come. And it washed out a lot of the highways. When we got to Monterey and crossed the bridge to go in to Allende a little further south, my heart jumped up in my throat. As we looked off that bridge, no longer could we see those shacks. No longer could we see those buses that were lined up there and people were living in them. Now there was a new bed of mud and debris that stretched as far as you could see. After that hurricane came through and hovered over the Monterey area, I don't know how much rain fell, but it all funneled down into this dry wash. And this is the reason why there was no one living there in the beginning. Maybe for 100 or 200 years it hadn't affected anything. But when this hurricane came, this once in a 100-year storm that dropped so much rain, the flash floods came and they brought the silt and the mud and the rock and the debris. And those buses were still there, but all you could see was about this much of the yellow tops and then solid mud everywhere. I don't know if those families got out or not, but they chose the wrong place to live. They chose the wrong place to build their lives. What a waste. This parable says the same thing. This is your life, America. You have an opportunity of choice now. Here we are on the razor's edge of going one direction or another, they tell us. Either we're going into a socialistic democracy or we're going in back and stay in capitalism. But I don't want to have to do this every 4 years, do you? We need a divorce from those people because that's not the same people and not the same root of the same people that founded America, in my personal opinion. America was founded upon the love of God. And I've read where the pilgrims that were coming over made a contract with God. A contract with God that as long as you protect us and watch over us and help us and love us, we will worship you and we will lift your name up and we will do right and we will be right continually and train our children as such. There is no argument that America has been the greatest nation in the world other than Israel. God has had two nations, Israel and America. America has come through as an underdog more times than not and yet come through victoriously simply because God's hand has been upon her. But as I read scholars and look at history and see things that have taken place now recently, such as 9/11/01, I find that God has lifted His hand of protection and the walls have been breached. And the enemy has come in, the foreign enemies, and attacked us on our own shores. America is a nation who says, oh, and they pray, we pray, oh, God bless America again. I want to tell you something. God has lifted His hand, I hope temporarily, to show us that what we need is repentance. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked sins, then will I hear from heaven. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, the hand of the Lord is not weak that it cannot save, but your sins have separated you between you and your God. I'm telling you that it's not just a byword, it's not just a phrase, it's not just a message from some dumb preacher who's trying to stir your emotions. It is the fact and it is the truth that we stand upon the very edge of godliness or godlessness in America. We've already seen the godless side of it, exhibited again and again. And if Christians fail to vote for life, they are, by their non-vote, agreeing with the progressive ideology of death in the womb and same-sex marriage and all of the other abominations that God detests. We agree with it by failing to vote the right way. I'm not talking about personalities. There's personalities involved that I don't necessarily agree with, but I'm talking about doing the right thing. This is your life, America. It's based upon choices. It's based upon building upon the rock or building upon the sand. Number one, every one of us must build the house of our life on something. Every one of us must build the life that we have on something. It's an amazing thing. When we're 30, 35 or 40, we can no longer look back and say, it's my dad's fault. It's my mama's fault that I am the way I am. I want to tell you parents something. The reason why your kids turn bad is because you failed somewhere. Oftentimes you failed somewhere. You say, well, I love Jesus, but you never showed it to your children. You love basketball more than you love Jesus. You love softball more than you love Jesus. You love the lake more than you love Jesus. And they hear you criticize the church and those old people down there and you know, those people are nuts and they always this and that and they want you to dress different and this and they hear that. So how can they believe the truth when it comes because they've heard you criticize forever? No, no. You can't quote that verse, train up a child in the ways to go and when he's old he will not depart. You can't claim that promise. Well, I have a wayward child, but the Bible says he's going to come back. Not unless you've trained him, he's not going to come back. That's your choice. You see, we have the choice of building our lives. Sometimes there are black sheep in a good family. How can that happen? Tell you how it happened very briefly. When God opens the windows of heaven to bless you and you have a wonderful child that loves the Lord and serves the Lord and da 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 da, and you have another child that is not that way, when God opens the windows of heaven to bless you, Satan opens the windows of hell to blast you. And sometimes he goes after the weaker link. And sometimes he goes after the ones who are not quite sure about these choices and are not quite grounded the way they ought to be grounded. But the buck stops here. This is your life, America. Every one of us must build the house of our life on something. When we began to read this story in verses 24 through 27, he says, you know, he says, if you don't build upon the solid rock, then it's going to fail. A wise man builds on the rock and the rains descend, the floods come, the winds blow, and they beat on the house, and it does not fall because it's founded upon the rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, but does not do them, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The same rains came, the floods came, the winds blew, they beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I told someone recently, talking about teenagers driving cars in Midland, Texas, and almost in a wreck, and almost this, and almost being run over. Listen, people in Midland are crazy the way they drive. Will you say amen right there? Man, listen, my wife and I have already been run over twice in less than a year. Not our fault. Run over. I'm about to get gun shy. I'm starting to take the bus everywhere I go now. But a young mother was saying something about a teenage driver, and I said, you got to preach to them every time they leave the house. I said, huh? I said, you have to preach to them every time they leave the house. What do you mean? I said, remind them that there are people who are not watching for them. Remind them to drive defensively. Remind them every time they leave. Well, don't you? No, I don't. Teenagers are, you know, they got things on their minds constantly. You got to remind them, preach to them. Every one of us builds our house, our life on something. Young people are not preparing to live in the future. You're living now. Everything you do affects your life. Young people, listen to me. You may still be at mom and dad's house, but everything you do will affect your life from now on. Everything. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 11, notice what he says. Proverbs 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings. Even a child is known by his doings. Somebody either says, man, that is a wonderful child. That is a well-behaved child. Or they say, that's a brat. You know, I'm right. Tell me. Amen. That's either a well-behaved child or that's a brat. I can tell you how to fix the brat. Number one, get hold of the right ear and start twisting. And if that doesn't work, get a hold of the right ear and the left ear and start twisting, and they will cease whatever they're doing. Look, Proverbs says, even a child is known by his doings. He can't go on the reputation of his mama or his daddy. He's on his own. Even from the time he's a child, people make a choice of them and they have a picture of them. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. I'm talking about people mark a child and his character, his honesty, his lying or his stealing, his gossip, his laziness or his work ethic, his dependability or his pride, his arrogance. Here comes that verse. Train up a child in the way he should go. The way is God's way. God's overall plan and purpose. The way, a child's actions may stumble, but he still has focus of the way that God wants him to go. He may stumble and make a bad choice once in a while. He's not going to be perfect, but he still has vision of the way that God wants him to go, and he'll get up and keep going in that direction. Train. That's a daily thing. Training. It's consistency. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. The problem in America at this very moment is mamas and daddies have failed to train those children in the way they should go. And those 30-year-olds and below are in this movement of burning, looting, raping, pillaging, knocking out old people, harming policemen, throwing rocks and bottles, and they, every one of them, ought to be locked up and have the key thrown away. But their mamas and daddies ought to be right there behind them because they're to blame. Hello? This is your life, America. Youth are not preparing to live in the future, but they're living now. And everything you do affects your life. You can postpone making up your mind, but you cannot postpone making up your life. The storms of life will beat upon every person. And both foundations, whether on the stone, on the rock, or on the sand, are subject to storms. Every life here. We don't give an excuse and say, well, because I have this and this and, no, wait. Everyone is affected. Everyone in life has sickness, temptations, economics, war, reversals. We can't stop the winds and the floods, but we can build to withstand them. We build lives on the solid rock to withstand the storms. Material things are not important. The lives that we're building is the most valuable thing that we have in our possession. Jesus Christ, our solid rock. Look in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul writes and he says, look, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not a fair contest. But we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, what are we going to do to finish this fight? How can we wrestle? He says, verse 13. Because we're wrestling against spiritual wickedness, and that's what we have in America. But spiritual wickedness is clever enough to use human beings for its front. Satan came against Job in the Old Testament and stole and burned everything that Job had. But he did it through those, what were they, Malachites, Midianites. He did it through them, the numbers of whom were as the grasshoppers. He stirred them up against Job. And though we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, the evil spirit that is in America stirs up flesh and blood against others, and it's usually the ones who have no clue about regeneration, redemption, heaven and hell. In fact, most of the millennials today don't even believe in God. But Paul writes and he says, because we wrestle against flesh and blood, let us take unto us the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, full of labors, annoyances, hardships, pains, and troubles. The evil day. It comes to all of us. It's not something that we observe in somebody else's life. It comes to all of us. The evil day. That we may be able to withstand. That we might set ourselves against it, to resist it, to oppose it. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the word of God, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Paul writes and he says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Who are you depending on? Where's your strength lie? Oh, my strength's in my mama. Oh, for crying out loud. Well, my strength and my daddy. I love my daddy. I just love my daddy. And he just, I'm going to tell you something. Your daddy's going to fail you. But Jesus Christ will not. Put your trust and your strength in the solid rock. Number two, every one of us should be aware of the Lord's warnings. We should take what we've read and understand that Jesus is trying to warn us that bad things are going to happen to us. We don't blame God for the bad things. He's the one that's warning us and telling us that just like Satan went against Job and others all through life, he's going to come against us. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You have victory in Jesus if you build the right way and you build upon the solid rock and you build towards those days that we know are coming. We make preparations soundly. Every one of us should be aware of the Lord's warning. You will miss life by doing nothing constructive with it. I know people and you know people as well. I'm sorry to use this phrase, but I'm going to use it because you'll understand it. I know people and you know people that we would consider to be deadbeats. You don't have a problem understanding that, do you? Worthless. Good for nothing. Still on the apron strings. Couldn't make it if it weren't for mama's or daddy's credit card. 35 years old, 40 years old, and still whining. Who made them that way? You're going to miss life by doing nothing constructive with it. You need to invest your life in others. And the others, first of all, should be the ones of your own loins. The ones that you've given flesh and blood to. That ought to be the first people that you invest in. Your purpose in life is more. Listen to me. I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm not trying to browbeat you, but I'm trying to help you understand where America is and why America has gotten to the shape it's in. It's because of people like me and you. Hello? It's not that bunch over there. It's not that crowd over there. Man, the 60s, I grew up in the 60s. The age of rebellion. And it was. And it produced people like Bill and Hillary Clinton. And you know what kind of people they are. And it produced people like that by the millions. Still rebellious. Still going against authority. Still believing in free. Every time the commercial comes on, it says, hey, you need to switch to this because you get free. And they name it. Free transportation, free eyeglasses, free dental, free this. I said, you know what? That makes me sick. But that's of the mindset that we're in today, is that the government and the nation owes me, and someone along the line owes me. I should be getting more free stuff. Hello? It sells, doesn't it? But nothing's free. Ethel Waters said so many years ago, go look her up, Google her. Ethel Waters said, honey, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. She was exactly right. If you do not plan to build on the rock, then you plan to build on the sand. If you're not planning to build on Jesus Christ, the solid rock, if you're not building consciously on the rock, if you just put it in neutral and let it coast, you're building on the sand, whether you realize it or not. The parable of the two ways found in Matthew chapter 7 in verses 13 and 14. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Anything goes in the broad way. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. A good tree bringeth forth good fruit, an evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Let me ask you a question. There are two candidates running for president. On one side, we have big parades and we have masses of people that are flying the American flag and the Trump flag, running up and down the highway, acting like a bunch of morons, blowing their horns and acting patriotic. And I love it. And on the other hand, we have big crowds and masses of people that are blocking the highways, that are burning, knocking out windows, that are pillaging and looting, knocking out and killing old people and throwing things at policemen. Both are fruits. And a good tree brings forth good fruit, and an evil tree brings forth evil fruit. Is it so hard? Is it so hard? Well, I haven't decided yet. You're a moron. My wife says I use that word too much. You're a moron. You haven't decided yet? Good fruit, evil fruit. Good fruit, evil fruit. Hey, Hey, this has nothing to do with the sermon. We'll click it off. Nobody's watching now. Hey, did you see that video yesterday of the Trump crowd with hundreds of vehicles on the interstate escorting Kamala, what's her name, Biden's, the future president if they get elected, escorting his bus out of the country? I loved it! Yeah, you can turn it back on. I loved it. Man, every one of us should be aware of the Lord's warnings. You're going to miss life by doing nothing constructive with it, and that is investing in others. I love some of these school kids that I see who are investing their lives already in trying to mold and shape their friends, their classmates. Instead of being the big cheese and the big dog, they're trying to mold and shape the lives of their classmates. Good for you. That's exactly what you ought to be doing. You're investing in the lives of others. If you do not plan to build on the rock, then you're already building on the sand. He gave us those two ways as we just quoted them. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Boy, abundant life is not having to break in a plate glass window and go in and steal a pair of blue jeans because I'm without. My daddy taught me to go and work harder and work longer and get the money and go and buy it and pay for it. And there's dignity in that. There's honesty and righteousness. There's character and dignity in that. May I say to you along the same line, I'm thinking about preaching on civil government tonight in Romans 13. I'm thinking about it. And one of the things that I want to share with you and bring out to you is that God is the author of civil government. But God never intended for civil government to be a government of charities, of hand-me-downs and hand-me-outs and giving free college tuition and free housing and free food and free everything. That's not God's idea of civil government. It won't work. God intended that churches take care of their people, and that when people had a need, they found that need from compassionate people that were part of the same body they were in. And so somebody comes back and says, yeah, but not everybody belongs to a church. Ah, now you're getting the problem. And the solution to the problem. That's good preaching by anybody's business. I don't care what you say. Amen, preacher. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. The one who follows the crowd may not even get to the gate of eternal life. Narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Life, listen to this statement. Life like water. I'm a farm boy. I know what happens when you pour out a bucket of water. Maybe some of you slickers have never carried water in a bucket or any of that kind of thing. But I know what happens when you irrigate the garden and you run the water down the row instead of sprinkling. If you sprinkle it out here, you're going to burn everything. You got to run it down the row. Well, if that end is high and this end is low and I put the garden hose here, it ain't getting down there. I can promise you on the high end, it's not. Water runs to the lower end. Hello? That's profound. Water will always run to the lower level. Life is like water, listen. Life, if left alone, will seek a lower level. One may miss life by just doing what comes naturally. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life, eternal life, and they might have it more abundantly, that they might, after being born again, live victoriously and be able to pray and seek and ask and get what I'll be glad to supply to them and help them with, as long as they come to me first and put my words and my book first in their life. I'll be glad to help them along that line. But no! Most people seek what comes naturally first. And what is that? That's a lower level in life. Most Christians are not living up to the potential that God has for their life. Most Christians are not living to the level that God had predetermined your life was going to be. Most Christians got saved as a fire escape from hell and are not serving God, not loving Him as they should, not following His Word as they should, and then wonder why everything goes bad and why everything happens to me seemingly. Life. Life, like water, seeks a lower level. One may miss life by just doing what comes naturally. And remember, you have an Adamic nature. What is that? It's a sinful nature. So if you just do what comes naturally, guess what? There's that sinful nature that will pull you lower and lower and lower. And you will take the low road rather than the high road every single time. Life. Get your vision straight. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. What does it mean? Vision. You look at it. The word vision means spiritual enlightenment. It doesn't mean a goal or ambition in life. Where there is no vision, it doesn't mean that you have a vision, you see yourself as a mighty warrior. You're going to do this, this, and accomplish this. That's not what it means at all. Where there is no vision, the people perish. It means where there is no spiritual enlightenment, where no one is abiding by, thus saith the Word of God, where no one is being guided by the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of every born-again child. Where we're not getting on our knees and saying, God, what do you want me to do about this? And God gives an answer, and we follow that, and it's successful, and we're happy about it. But rather we do that which is natural in our lives, which will always be a lower level because of the sin nature that will drag you down. Even if you're born again, if you're not putting God first in your life, you're not seeking His will, His direction, His purpose in life and obeying. He said, He that heareth my sayings and doeth them shall be a wise man who built his life upon a rock. He that heareth my sayings and doeth them not, shall be like the man who built his house, his life, on the sands. Monterey, Mexico. And the floods came eventually and washed them all away. Oh, this is your life, America. We've allowed that ungodly crowd to deny us our God in the classroom. Deny His Word in the classroom. Deny the Pledge of Allegiance to a flag because it's patriotic. Well, what are you, moron? If you're not patriotic, move to Cuba. I'm tired of battling this bunch. The only solution I see is have a divorce from them. Take your progressiveness and go out and work, see how it works out in Oregon, Washington, California, Nevada. You can have all of that and leave the rest of it alone. Go on out there and do your progressive stuff. That same crowd will eventually die out because they can't reproduce. Because they've sanctioned men and men marrying men are okay and women marrying women are okay. And guess what? Without reproducing children, it's zero growth. You say, but God is a God of love and God just loves all people. He doesn't love that. God would save them in a heartbeat if they would repent of their sin and come to Jesus Christ. But God's not for that sin. Not that lifestyle. Well, you say, give chapter and verse. I'll give you chapter and verse. What about that a woman should separate from her mother and father and be united to her husband who has separated from his mother and father, and they too shall become one. And what did he tell them? Go and multiply. Go forth and multiply. Replenish the earth is what he told them. Two men that are married can't replenish the earth, and two women that are I just saw some morons on the news channel. One is a professional soccer player, she, and another is a professional women's basketball player, and they're in love, and they just got engaged, and they're going to be married. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, doesn't that just turn your heart? Morons. I hope we reverse all of that in the Supreme Court. Life. Life is like water. It seeks a lower level naturally. Strive to enter in at the gate. Luke chapter 13 verse 24 says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Pretty good answer. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. What does that mean? It means agonize, wrestle, think, consider, choose, work towards entering in at the straight gate. Why? Because Satan's going to fight you tooth and nail. He will fight you. You think life is going to be a yellow brick road after you get born again? You've been misled. Your battles may just begin. But child of God, God's promised to be with you every step of the way. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said He would give you every need of your life. And He said that greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. And you have victory in Jesus, and you're more than conquerors through Him that loved you. And you should be behaving like a good soldier of Jesus Christ, not like a sniveling, crying, crybaby, sucking on the bottle kind of Christian that follows after their emotional feelings. The person who just wishes, well, I wish I could be like that. I hope I can make it someday. The person who just wishes never makes it. It takes consistent choices day in, day out. Young people, it takes consistent choices. And the people who you allow into your circle of friendship, and the people that you allow into your inner circle, your closest of friends, it makes choices, and you should make good choices for people like that. Choices of who you're going to marry. It's your choice. But you ought to be praying right now. I don't care how old you are. You ought to be praying right now. God, when the day comes and the time comes for me to choose a wife or choose a husband, God, would you bring the one that you want me to have? Would you give me that one? You'll never go wrong. You say, but what if she's ugly? But what if he's bald? It won't matter. Where God guides, God provides. And if God gives you the one that is the love of your heart, you will love them no matter what they are. Look, but I guarantee you, God's no slouch. Hello? Somebody said, how in the world, Verl Gunner, did you marry that beautiful gal that you got? I said, God. They said, it had to be. You so ugly, you'd stop a 3-day clock. God. God will always do right by you if you put it in His hands. Not just choices about people to marry, but choices about jobs, choices about places to live, choices about the way of life, building on the solid rock, not just building a physical house. I'm talking about building your life. And young people, people will remember the way you are right now, your whole life. You're making part of your character and integrity. You're building it right now. You're either dependable or you're not dependable. You're either have a work ethic or you're a lazy bum. You're building that pattern in your life right now, and people will remember you your whole life. You never wish it away. He said, strive to enter in. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Last thing, every one of us should be aware of being taken in by Satan. Every one of us should be aware of being taken in by Satan, trying to get us and influence us to make the wrong choice. There are people in life that want what they can get out of you. Some of them knock on your front door trying to sell something or trying to get something from. Usually I say, I'm not interested. And if they keep on, I said, I'm not interested. Are you deaf? I said, I'm not interested. No, I don't want that either. But why wouldn't you want this? I said, I don't want it. I'll have to explain to you why I don't want it. I just don't want it. Hit the road, Jack. Let's go. Some people just want what they can get out of you. We read in Matthew 7, 15 through 20, there are wolves in sheep's clothing. Why do wolves dress up like sheep? So they can fool other sheep. There are people in churches that act like sheep that are not sheep. They're wolves. That are people that will use God's name or the name of Jesus Christ to sell you something. And that's all they want to do is sell you something. They find out you're a Christian. They'll use the Christian terminology of things in order to win your confidence, in order to get your money or get you to commit to something. I'm aware of that. If I had time, I'd read 2 Corinthians 11. I wish you'd read that. Verses 14 and 15. It talks about Satan and his angels or his ministers transforming themselves into angels of light, into goodness, into kindness. It has to be of the emotional realm because Satan can't get into the spiritual realm where we're born again. He can't dissolve my faith, but he can make me have doubts and worries if I listen to my emotions. That's why you should stay strong in your commitment to faith and trust Him. Even when you can't see God's hand, you can still trust His heart that He's near. Ministers transform themselves into the angels of light to deceive others. There are people who act religious. Matthew 7 and verse 16, He said, "Ye shall know them by their fruit." Why, here's a man running for president that's already trying to get the Muslims on his side and saying, after all, you know, we worship the same God just in a different way. That moron doesn't know any different or else he's lying, the biggest lie. Listen, Allah and Elohim are not the same God. Allah is a demonic God and Elohim is a triune God. Nevertheless, beware of fooling yourself. Matthew 7, 21 and 22. Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful things in your name? Haven't we worked for you? Why, we went down to the association the other day when they were boxing up clothes and food, and we worked in the name of Christian, and we put things together, and we even delivered them to the poor. Have we not done many wonderful things in thy name? He said, wait a minute. It's not by your works that you get to heaven or get forgiveness of sin. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ that was never applied to you. Because when you get the blood of Jesus, you're also born again. You're regenerated and you're related to me. And I've not known you intimately. I have no relationship with you. Just because you use the name Christian, just because you use the name of charity, just because you use the word of righteousness, doesn't mean you belong to God. But there are those who will try and fool you. Beware of fooling yourself. These are the ones who call Jesus Lord, but do not do His will. It's your life. Why be foolish with it? We only have one life. I realize that life goes by rapidly. Some of you in your 30s and your early 40s, you think, oh man, I've got lots of time. Don't go to sleep. It'll go by in a heartbeat. You 16, 15, 14-year-olds, 16, 17, 18-year-olds, it seems like it's moving so slow now. It picks up speed. The only way to make a good life is not by an education so that I can make lots of money, so that I can buy nice. We were Kathy and I were in a home this week, new home, very nice home. A couple, we know their background. They're a young couple, and I'm amazed at all the stuff they have that is so nice, top shelf. It costs a lot of money, and I even thought, are they in debt for this? Did they pay for this already? Is this on the credit? What kind of jobs do they have to afford this? And maybe mom and dad footed the bill. I don't know. But that's not the important things of life. Right here's your life. Not the abundance of stuff that you have. Right here's your life. Are people going to look back at you 20 years from now and say, you know, when that kid was young, he was still the same as he is right now. Integrity, character, righteousness, love the Lord, serve God. I'm going to tell you something. Not bragging on me, but bragging on God. Kathy worked at a bank years ago. And when I surrendered to preach, you know, a prophet's not without honor except in his own country. I knew Verl Gunner when he was, but I had a lady the other day that I wrote on Facebook. She had some tragedies in her families. I went to school with her, and I wrote her on Facebook, and I said, you know, hey, I'm sorry, God. I gave her some scripture verses, tried to encourage her, and she wrote back, and she said, Verl Gunner, you're so good. You've always been good. And I thought, she talking about me? But you know, I tried to be. We make this joke about being good. There's none good, no, not one. But trying to live a Christian life, even when you're young, affecting your classmates that might make a difference 30 years from now. That's what I'm saying. America, this is your life. Oh, somebody says, we need to vote in a new president and we need to do... Listen, it's not going to change a thing. We didn't get where we are today overnight. And we're not going to change it overnight. It's going to be a long process. You need to get on your knees and pray. And you need to ask God to intercede. Father, thank you for the word. Now,